Today on Real Life Radio.
Stupid decisions. Every one of us have made stupid decisions. The key is to arrest that stupid thought in your head before it becomes a decision.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional? And it's sure to help you in your walk with God. Join the thousands of Real Life Radio listeners who've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotional. Get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Christian, Come Home, Part 1. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and divinity of Jesus as only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 15, we'll consider how Jesus continues toward Jerusalem with his followers in tow. You see, at this point, thousands of people are following Jesus, but the scribes and the Pharisees, they just can't endure his message of hope, love, and forgiveness. Jesus speaks to the crowd in parables, many regarding how much God loves us, and how he wants us to come to him. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in each of our lives, a common line is drawn, that sin separates us from God and that we're stimulated by what it feels like. But the result of sin? Pain and suffering. And a decision has got to be made to stay or to turn towards home and to Christ. Now, with his message called Christian Come Home, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But you know what? This boy also, you can find out, in a far distant country. Nobody knows you. You don't know anybody else. How do you handle that opportunity? Hey man, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Oh yeah? You have a tendency to let down your guard far from home. What happens when you're far from home? There's nobody there to hold you. There's no mom and dad there to say, get into bed. It's 10 o'clock. What are you doing still? Turn off your light. Get to bed. That kid said, I want to get out of here. Give me the money that's due to me. Let's pretend you're dead. I'm out of here. And he leaves the far country. Imagine the skip in his step. I'm on my own. I can do what I want when I want to do it. He's all excited. He's like Pinocchio heading off. And all the disaster that's looming. Because you know what? He wants to be an adult. He wants to play adult things and do adult stuff, which adults can't handle either. But he's just a young boy. He's just a young man. He doesn't have it. And he's far from God in a far country. Nobody knows him. People will laugh at his jokes because it's all brand new. Everything's exotic. It's very tremendous. The draw of the city lights. It's all something. Heading off to college. Mom and dad are 2,000 miles from home. Wow. Think about it. Thomas Huxley said, a man's day of trouble begins when he discovers that he can do whatever he wants. Think of that. Is that not true? Did you guys hear me? Are you sleeping? A man's day of trouble begins when he discovers that he can do whatever he wants. That's when you get into trouble. He goes into a far country. I love Psalm 139. Psalm 139 verses 7 to 10 says, where can I go from your spirit? David wrote. And David ought to know. David sinned enough to find out. Everywhere I go, you're there. Can you imagine? When he was winking at Bathsheba, God was saying, what are you doing? Man, look at her. No, don't look at her. Think about it. Hey, he asked for his commander's input. What's her name? Can you imagine? The Holy Spirit was saying, you don't need to know her name. Then he sins, horrible life. He winds up killing her husband, winds up impregnating her, adultery, the whole mess. David then says, Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? Question, who would want to? Or where can I flee? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Even there, your hand will lead me. I love that. I don't want to listen to Jonah. I don't want to listen to you, God. Get in a boat. Let's go. And he goes in the boat and God's there. Jonah's thinking, we are so far from home. This is cool. I got away from God. Hello, Jonah. Imagine. You might be saying, oh, Pastor, my boy is far from home. He's not walking with God, and then he's heading off to college. It's going to be worse. And listen, mom, dad, have you ever heard of air support? You know, when you launch a military campaign, you don't send your troops in first. You bomb the snot out of the ground and prepare it for your troops. Air support. Mom and dad, get on your knees. Start praying for your kids. Lord, I'm asking you to deliver this Sidewinder missile prayer. Lord, I'm asking you to deliver this atom bomb prayer. You pray, seriously. Lord, you keep my son a virgin. If he sees a girl and starts going crazy, just cause him to throw up wherever he's at. You pray, they're called, in biblical, David prayed prayers like that. They're called imprecatory prayers. Lord, if some evil is coming to my son, break that evil in half. Hey, mom and dad, I don't know if you fought for the soul of your kids up until now, but you better leave this sanctuary today fighting for your kids. I don't care if your kid is 50 years old. Amen. Fight for your kid. He's still your kid. No matter how goofball he turned out to be, he's still your kid. And you pray for his soul, because you know what? His soul's in the balance. Jesus is telling us the soul of this kid's in the balance. He's far from home. Also this, mercy has been extended to us even if you and I have made stupid decisions. I couldn't find a word stupid that was nice on Sunday morning. Now people are gonna say, my kid, I don't let my kids say that word. I know that, and I really struggle with putting that word on the screen. I just couldn't find a word any better than that. We've all made just dumb decisions. Why did we do that? Look at verse 13 there. He wasted his possessions. Squandered. Wasted. But the word is amazing. I'll give you the meaning of it in a moment. I don't want you to hear it just yet. He wasted his possessions. How did that happen? In his mind, this is the plague of a young mind. He forgot. Have you ever talked to your kids? Why did you do that? I forgot. Didn't I tell you that you needed to turn this on at a certain time or else the thing would burn up? Yeah. Why did you not? I forgot. Psalm 106:13. Israel forgot God's works. They did not wait upon his counsel, but instead they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and they tempted God in the desert. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent leanness, thinness, shallowness, apathy into their souls. Wow. Give me what? Hey, dad, let's pretend you're a dad. Give me all the money. You think that's the answer to you finding utopia? It comes with a great price. Stupid decisions. Every one of us had made stupid decisions. The key is to arrest that stupid thought in your head before it becomes a decision. We can't go to this part yet of Luke 15, but his brother's going to tell us later, verse 30, that he wasted all his bucks on harlots. Man, wasted his life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5, very, very wonderful verse. Verses 5 through 9 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is what you give your kids. This is what you give yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's how you keep. See, Pastor, give me some application. How do I keep from making stupid decisions? This is all you need. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't counsel with yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Pray. And he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know how kids are wise in their own eyes? You don't know nothing, Dad. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase. In other words, tithe to God what's his, and everything you own belongs to him. Keep that perspective in your mind and you'll do well. Amen. By the way, you know, this is another thing that's not in my notes, but a lot of people, this ridiculous demonic doctrine about prosperity. You need to, you know, take out a $100 bill. $100 bill. Tear off one little portion and you keep that little portion and then ship or mail the big piece to us here at 1-800 or whatever the number is. You mail it in though and have faith. That is demonic. That's insane. If that lunatic on TV had faith, he would say, tear off that little corner of that $100 bill, mail it to me, and I'll show you that I have faith in God. No, he takes the part that you can deposit in the bank and leaves you with nothing. And people go, oh yeah, oh, mail it in. Wait, honey, get the checkbook, mail it in. Come on. But there is a prosperity to be had. God could choose it to be money. He could choose it to be health. When you follow him and make the right decisions. I know many wonderful men and women of God who are super blessed in life. And I don't mean just money. Maybe they don't have money, but they've got great health. They got great relationship with their kids. It doesn't have to be that stuff. But when you honor God with your possessions, he'll bless you. And let him define what blessing is. Yeah, if I tithe, will I get $1,000 next week? How dare you? Let God define what blessing is. Terrible decisions made. Third and final point, it's this. Christian, come home because conviction, let's be honest, has been upon you. God's convicting you. Just the title of the message 45 minutes ago convicted you. Christian, come home. Oh, man, he wants me to come home. I've been wandering from God. I've been living my own life. I'm sleeping with Bubbles or with Rocky, and I need to come back to God. I got to come back.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Verse 13 says, he went to that far country and look, he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. The word prodigal, get a load of this. Conviction has been upon you. Watch this, prodigal. Prodigal living. Because you and I have been doing the wrong thing if we're far from God. We've been doing the wrong thing. Don't blame anybody. You guys, you and I will never get right with God if we're blaming others about our situation. You say, Pastor, you don't know my story. I don't want to know your story. I can't do anything with your story. And you can't either. Take your story to God. Don't call your friends anymore. Church, are you listening to me? Don't call your friends anymore and tell them about your big problem, that why you can't forgive, why you can't stop it. You've spent more time talking to your friends than you have on your knees with God about it. Go to God about it. Call him up. Jeremiah 33:3. That's his phone number. It's Jeremiah 33:3. He says right there, call me and I will listen to you. What kind of a deal is that? That's a great phone service. Better than my service I got. Call me. He says, call me and I'll listen to you. Tell him. And then leave it with him. See, when Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you enjoy being the Lord of your life. And only way you can be the Lord of your life is if you have this messed up little ball of yarn with boogers and glue and gum and fur in it. And it's like, this is mine. And it's all ugly and stinky and weird. And you like the control, you like to have it, it gives you something to do. Listen, give it to him and find out what it's like to come home to him and live a life that is amazingly honoring to him and for you, pure excitement and joy. It is absolutely true. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I used to have a little ball of yarn with boogers and glue and fur in it. And this was my thing. And I'm thinking if I sit on it long enough, I'll hatch something out of it good. Nothing good comes out of it. Listen, we've done the wrong thing. Conviction comes upon us. Prodigal living. Get a load of this. This is amazing. The word prodigal is the root word to the English word that we have to be prodigious. It means this. Great amount. Great size. Great volume. The word means lavish, abundant, generous, extravagant. Now let's read it again. He went and wasted his life on extravagant, abundant, generous, lavish living. He tried to find heaven, did he not? See, that's stretching it. No, I'm not. Because guess what? Another term in theology for this parable. In theological terms, this parable has often been referred to as the prodigal God. And you say, what? Based upon the pure meaning of the word, everything that this boy went out after to try to get for his own life, he fails because the world can't give it. Girls, guys, money, power can't give it. The prodigal God, take the meaning of the word, to lavish, to be amazingly, abundantly extravagant God, is for him to take what you're looking for and to provide it by and with his amazing, generous, lavish love. And his livelihood. The Father gave everything for the boy. The Father in heaven gave everything for us. He has given us overwhelming things. And what are we to do but to come home? We've lived wrong, and he says, come on back. Secondly, it's this, because you and I have been going to the wrong places like this boy did. To the wrong places. Listen, wherever we go as Christians, if you're walking with God or not and you're a Christian, the place that you and I go, we will either leave an impression on it, and we will, and it will certainly leave an impression upon us to either pray for it or to tamper with it. The wrong places. Stay away from the wrong places. You have to make a decision to do that. I am not going to do this anymore, because every time I do, listen, are you having a hard time with stuff on your computer? I told a lady this in this church years ago, and it bears repeating. She says, my husband is on internet pornography and I don't know what to do. It's ruining our marriage. And I said, listen to this. I said, I'll tell you what to do. Are you going home today? Yeah. Okay, I want you to go home today. I want you to unplug the computer. I want you to walk out in the middle of the driveway, and I want you to throw it straight down on the ground as hard as you can. And she went, I can't do that. And I go, why? How much? She goes, that computer costs $1,500. And I said, then lose your marriage. I said, an attorney will be a lot. In your first 5 minutes with the attorney will be $1,500. I said, I'm done talking to you. I just told you what to do. Next. Guess what happened? She almost lost her marriage until the computer was thrown in the middle of the driveway. Marriage? Dell computer. Marriage? Apple computer. What do I do? Are you crazy? Think about it. Get it out. If he can't handle it, throw him out. I mean, throw it out. And no, I didn't. That was a true slip. I didn't mean to say that. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not go after them. That's another one to weld onto your little son or daughter's lunchbox to college. If sinners entice you, don't go after them. Very, very important. We'll end with this. Final thing, verse 13. We've learned this from verse 13. Conviction will not leave you and I, because you've been living the wrong life. God will not give up on you. He will not stop. The truth is, God, who made you, has a better life for you to live. And you need to believe that. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, eye has not seen. This is amazing. There's no human eyeball in the history of mankind, including Adam and Eve, from this verse. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. See, the boy said, I want it now and I want it my way. God says, just wait. Just wait. Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. This boy is going to later fill himself with pig food because he's far from God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amazing thing. Okay, this is it. We end right here. I'm going to give you this thought to hold. With each of the three parables that we've looked at so far, the lamb that was lost, the coin that was lost, and this boy that we're learning about, this young man who is lost, there's a common line drawn regarding these parables. Number one, that sin takes us away from God. Obviously, right? Number two, we are temporarily excited and stimulated by the sin and what it feels like. The Bible says sin's pleasurable for a season. Seasons come and go. Number two, when the results of sin have conceived, they affect our lives. That's a fact. You're not going to get around it. Number four, the commencement of pain and suffering begins in our lives as sin has run its course. Number five, a decision must be made to stay or to go back home. And if you look at these things right here, you can march through how you wound up messing up your life. If you march through these things, you can see the pathology of how you got to where you're at today. I know it's mathematically possible. I'm not speaking to anyone in this church today. But you might know somebody where this message applies. Or you might want to hang on to it because you know what? I don't have to run far from home to be far from God. My heart can be far from God. And so in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking closely at this. And it's really coming down in many ways to not only personal and private life with God, but a lot of it has to do with our family life. And we'll be talking about that a lot in the weeks ahead. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, the reality of all that's before us applies to each and every one of our lives to some degree or another at some point in time. And Lord, I pray that today, Father, that right now, if a young man or a young woman is hearing and feeling and sensing your voice, which is convicting them, that today that would change. If there's a Christian today that has wandered off the path, remind them that this is no accident that they're here today, that what they're listening to has been ordained by you. Give them the power to overlook the messenger that they might receive the message. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, this is a serious moment. If today God is calling you, there is a pressure on your chest. It's on your chest. It's in your heart. You know it. You don't like it, but you can't leave it. And you sense today the Lord has called you out. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. This is a very private moment. Maybe today you're saying, Jack, I want to come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am that wayward daughter or son. I want to come into the family of God. I want to be born again, Jesus said. I want to become a Christian today, and I want to come home to the Creator God that made my life. I'm looking around, no one else is. Will you put your hand up wherever you're at right now, and you're saying, that's me, Jack. That's what I want. God bless you in the back. Anyone else? Up front right here. Anyone else to my right back there? Anyone? Over here to my left, several of you here. Over. God bless you. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. Praise God for that. Anyone now, you're a Christian and you've strayed from God. And normally I would not ask you to raise your hands, but just do this. Put your hand up because this is a vow and a covenant today. You're basically raising your hand saying, I pledge this today that God, I love you and I have fallen away and I want to come back and I want to be safe again in the everlasting arms. It's too hard to live like this, God. I want to come home. Raise your hand if that's you today. God bless you, many of you. We all understand how that is. The Lord has ordained this day. You can put your hands down. The Lord has ordained this day to say to you, I have heard your call. Father, for these who are accepting Christ for the first time, to those who are today vowing to renew their walk with you, we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would descend upon them in your great healing touch, your great warmth of embrace, and Father, that you would allow those words to ring true when Jesus said, I do not condemn thee, go and sin no more. That together today we would walk with Jesus Christ. Father, through the course of these weeks ahead, may we learn great things about coming home. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Christian Come Home, Part 1. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Miracles. The word itself might bring up controversy in your own mind, but did you know that America's history is full of miracles? Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung in the balance? Our country is rich in miraculous tales of answered prayer. So you're going to love our current featured resource. It's called Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer. It's by Susie Federer. Inside its pages, you'll discover real-life struggles that the history books never really told you about. Divine protection in the middle of desperate circumstances from America's past. Men and women rising up with faith and how situations were miraculously turned around. 32 captivating but little-known stories from the French and Indian War, the American Revolution, the War of 1812, the Civil War, World Wars I and II, and history up through Apollo 13. Learn the rest of the story of how people prayed, challenged, and inspired the nation, and how disaster was supernaturally averted. You are sure to get inspired as you uncover miracles in American history, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer by Susie Federer. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.